Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show. I'm Laura Reeves, host of Pure Dog Talk. We are here at the Trupanion booth, and we are visiting with Tina Spector about the unbelievable lengths that Trupanion went to for her greyhound, who was diagnosed with a very, very rare and aggressive form of cancer, and Trupanion helped you out a lot.
It was unbelievable. I mean, I can't tell you how much it meant. From the day we first had Trupanion in our lives,
right,
when my greyhound Lizzie passed out on our deck one Sunday night, we rushed her to the emergency, and they had to do an MRI immediately, and it was a Sunday night, so we asked right away, but will it be covered because it's expensive?
And you had Trupanion at that point.
We had Trupanion.
And so you were asking the vet clinic if this particular procedure would be covered by the insurance.
The MRI, and they said it's Sunday night, and they said, oh, but we can fax in a request immediately. The dog was in so much pain, and like within 20 minutes, it was approved, and we were like, thank you. And then we had to shuttle the dog the next day to the emergency vet hospital, where they needed to do an X-ray and a CAT scan, and it was another
huge chunk of money.
And we did the same thing, and they looked really quickly, and they said, yes, it's covered. And we said, we're going to keep going because this dog is not ready. She just wants to be here with us. So the next day, they told me that it was a very severe, aggressive type of cancer that was in her spine.
In her spine, right.
And it was a very aggressive cancer. They said maybe 3 to 6 months, and she only lasted not even 2 months. But what happened was that we quickly found a way to prolong her life, and we found through our oncology with Angels in Boston, the ASPCA hospital, a new...
Like experimental, right?
A modality, maybe, that they use on people, humans, for inoperable tumors that are in the brain or in the spine. It's called a cyber knife. And the cyber knife is like, oh my God, like, where do I find one of these? And we actually found one. There's two of them, one in New York and one in Pennsylvania.
And the most amazing part of this to me is that you called Trupanion and said this incredibly experimental thing, and what did they say?
Well, I said, there's no way they're going to approve this. There's no way, because it's like a big radiation with laser technology, 360-degree modality, and it came back approved. And I was like in shock because it's like, I didn't even know about this. How?
Right. I've never even heard about it.
It's called a cyber knife, and they set her up on a computer system, made a model of her whole body to set her in, and they started radiation.
To me, again, unbelievable. Tell me how much total you put into Lizzie's care that Trupanion covered for you.
Our total bill was $23,000. And I paid about less than $5,000 in the end. And the only thing that wasn't covered was the consultations and our deductible.
Right.
And it was like, I mean, I get goosebumps now. I'm like, thank you, because that dog, she had neurosurgery that was also included, where a neurologist actually did surgery on her spine to remove a lot of it. The biopsies, everything we went through was so worth it. So
thank you, Trupanion.
I'm here forever. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We really appreciate it. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and we are here at the one and only Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show, and we are learning today about Beaucerons. And we have a wonderful panel of guests today to talk to us about the breed, including a gentleman from France who is going to help us understand very much what the breed is in its native land. So we are going to start with him as an introduction. So your name, sir, and then we're going to go around to our additional panelists, and we're going to learn a whole lot about this amazing breed.
Hello, my name is Eric Vavasori. I am French breeders, but moved in the US since 2 years ago for Breed Boss Rum. I have an accent from Maryland. I breed Boss Rum since 25 years ago. My parents own Boss Rum. My grandparents own and bred Boss Rum.
Excellent. Okay, so we're going to keep going around the table. I'm just going to hand the microphone around. Everybody's going to give us a little bit of background on themselves, and then we're going to learn more about the history of this incredible moving fence, right? Yes.
Hi, I'm Sydney Wilcox. I have been introduced to the breed about 15 years ago when I was doing police work and training for courage testing in Florida. I then found a breeder that gave me my first in with my world's most perfect dog, and I am here today at the Westminster Kennel Club with my first homebred Beauceron.
Hi, I'm Sarah Reed, and I have been in Beaucerons for just over 3 years, but I've been around them for around six. I got my first Beauceron, and it's my first show dog, and we are kind of just learning as we go. I'm the baby of the group, so.
Hi, my name is Elaine Gianelli. And I got my first Beauceron in 2001. So I've been in the breed almost 20 years now. And I do agility with my guys. And I'm also a breeder. And I'm from Massachusetts.
Excellent. Okay. So let's talk about the history of the Beauceron. The Beauceron is an old breed, right? In France, very old. And so talk to us about the area, the region where the breed was developed and the job the breed was developed to do.
How old is the breed? The breed is about 600 years old. It was from the region south of Paris. The region is Beauce, and that's where the dog got its name from. It's the Berger de Beauce, or the Shepherd of the Beauce. It was the Beauce region. And that's where the name Beauceron came from. It's also called Red Stockings or Barouche, which is Red Stockings in France because they are the black and tan dog, and they're, it's a squirrel red is what they call the red in the legs.
Okay, so then the breed was developed to move stock, correct? They moved mostly sheep and cattle, so they're a big dog. How tall is a Beauceron? What's the height? 27.5 inches, Sydney says. Okay.
70 centimeters.
And so they're a good-sized dog to be able to move good-sized stock, right? And they have double dew claws?
Yeah.
Yes.
Required.
Okay. And they were described as the living fence because how they move the stock, is that right?
Nobility and presence is what they're supposed to encourage when they are being presented. It's their presence. Their head carriage is to be held high.
Okay.
I mean, I've always referred to them, or when I do like the Meet the Breeds, I always call them the living fence. It's how I describe them, and I try and go into a little more on how they herd sheep.
And how is that different than another breed?
So the Beauceron does sea course, and it's tending the flock. So the shepherd would go in the field with his sheep, and the Beauceron would border out like a fence and keep the sheep where they were supposed to be they grazed.
Okay.
The Beauceron was a farm dog, so it did a lot of things besides just the sheep. So it would take the sheep out during the day to graze, move them to another graze, and then, you know, bring them back home, and then protect the farm in the evening. But they were basically a farm dog. So I see a lot of pictures of Beaucerons from the early 1900s where they're actually pulling a cart. And they would be like the farm dog's carriage horse, where they would actually take the family to a church or something. So they were the poor man's carriage horse. They would have a couple boats.
Right. So again, that size is important. Okay. You were talking about guarding the farm. They are a protective dog, yes?
He is a protective dog for family, for sheep, for cow. He is a dog to be able to be used for everything like a German Shepherd or Malinois, but just he's more biggest. He's most biggest and he's not fast like a Malinois.
Right.
But he's more, for my opinion, because I'm trainer since a lot of time, he's more close to the family and his owner is more loyal.
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 Right.
Yeah.
Also known as a Velcro dog. because they stay with their owner and they follow the owner everywhere.
Okay, so if I was to call you up, what kind of person, if I want to buy a Beauceron, what makes a great Beauceron owner?
I would probably look for somebody that just enjoys the company of their dog all the time, that's willing to take the time throughout the day to spend the day with the dog. They're not a breed that is like your sporting dogs. Your sporting dogs are eager. And these guys are not so much that they're eager, but they will do anything for just a good dog. The versatility. They're not just agility dogs. They want to do everything. They want to be able to go do herding. They want more training. They love all of it. They want to do your family pet, but they also want to go do for a hike. They are truly the all-around dog.
Okay, so they definitely have an activity level, but they're not like manic. You know, they're not a border collie. They're not constantly go, 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 go.
They don't have the focus, the intenseness of a border collie or a Malinois, but they are high energy with a sense of humor.
Yeah. Don't ever laugh at a Beauceron because they will never stop doing it, ever. Yeah, no.
You just taught them the wrong thing. If you laugh at something that they do because they look like a clown and it's funny, they will continue to do it to please you.
I like that. A dog with a sense of humor. And so when we're talking about living with Beauceron, lifespan, it's a good big dog. So how long generally are they living?
If the dog don't have a specific disease, between 11 and... I have two dogs to get 17.
17?
Yes, but generally it's more 11, 14, 15.
And a pretty healthy breed?
In general, they're a healthy breed. Obviously, they're a large dog, so hip dysplasia, as in the large dogs. And we do have some DCM, dilated cardiomyopathy, not like the Doberman. Nowhere near numbers-wise like the Doberman, but we do have it pop up on occasion.
And the Beauceron, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Beauceron I've been given to understand is sort of like the short-coated version of a Briard. Is that correct?
They're way smarter, though.
Okay, they're way smarter than a Briard.
And they actually herd sheep, where the Briards are not...
Smart but stubborn, okay. And so, which came first, the Briard or the Beauceron?
It's the same because it comes from the same people at the beginning. The first was a veterinarian military a long time ago to try to fix standard of both of them a long time ago. We need to say the two breeds come from the Beauceron bloodline. Like Doberman, the blood was used by the German at the beginning of the century. And for the Rottweiler too, use a part of the blood from Beauceron.
Okay.
Because the Beauceron is more old than Doberman and Rottweiler breed.
Okay.
They were also used for the Catahoula, the Louisiana Catahoula leopard dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and the Catahoula's coloring comes from the Beauceron. We have the black and tan, but we also have what we call Arlequin.
Right.
Which is the blue merle, which is where the Catahoula got its merling from.
And so when did they come to this country? Like, have they been in this country a long time and nobody just knew about them? Because they were only AKC recognized in 2007. Okay, so 2007 is when AKC recognized the Beauceron. And so they've been in this country a long time.
No.
I mean, the first breeders to import the Beauceron was Carla Davis in California. I think she's get his first dogs around 85, 86. I don't know exactly, but yes.
Okay.
But they say that when the French settled in Louisiana, that they brought a couple Harlequins with them, and that's where the Catahoula got it. You know, that was from way, way back when the French first came to Louisiana. But for breeding the more modern Beauceron, Carla Davis got the first ones in the 80s. I think Claudia Batson was in the 80s. You know, we had some breeders, very few in the 80s.
Okay, so still, even though an old breed itself, new in this country.
Yes.
And you were talking a little bit earlier about the divide between the Briard and the Beauceron. Do they produce the coat varieties in the litters, or that divide was long enough ago?
That divide was long ago. They were separate. What's interesting is the Briard does not allow the Beauceron coloring,
right,
and the Beaucerons do not allow the Briard coloring, and there are specific things in the standard of the Beauceron that I think was in there to separate it from the Briard, like no shaggy coat, which the Briard would be. So there are certain things like the color and things like that that distinguish the Beauceron from the Briard.
Fascinating. See, I love this. Love the breeds is like one of my favorite things that I do on this show. So Beauceron's a big dog, kind of a protective dog. What kind of issues do you run into? Do you have issues with a dog that's got a tough personality? What kind of person makes not a good Beauceron owner? How's that?
Temperament could be an issue. Why? Because a long time ago, the Beauceron was a farm dog, and he was on the farm only for protect family and someone for manage the sheep. So the dogs was not socialized. So the dogs must be socialized early by the breeders and after by the owners, more than German Shepherd or Labrador, more. Because he was a farm dog long time.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute.
So, hey, crew. New year, new decade. Let's have some new Pure Dog Talk promos while we're at it, shall we? All right. Our patrons group continues to grow and thrive. It's like the NPR of dogdom. It's so cool. And Pure Dog Talk offers you, my loyal listeners, an opportunity to get in on the fun. Pure Dog Talk patrons are invited to join a closed Facebook chat group just for you. And I promise you, no drama mamas, no keyboard warriors, just fabulous, supportive, Pure Dog Talk fans. That's it. Each month, I pick a photo submitted by our patrons group to be the cover image on the Facebook page. You guys have seen it. And anybody with a quick question gets immediate feedback from moi personally, as well as input from the array of patron group members. Pretty fun. The patrons group also gets first dibs on podcast topic suggestions. So if you have something you want to hear about, that's a good way to do it. And to celebrate the new year, I'm adding a whole new technological challenge to my life. Oh my God. I will be hosting Facebook Live discussions for patrons only on the final Monday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific time zone.
Yeah, baby, yeah!
Y'all join us from wherever you are, but that's when they'll be. Just a few of our planned topics of conversation include advertising on a shoestring budget. Yeah, trust me, we can talk about that. Campaigning a special just for owner handlers. Problem solving the stack. Tricks of the trade for grooming, like what products do I like or anybody else like. Open mic Q&As, all that kind of stuff. What you guys need to know is that the generosity of Pure Dog Talk's patrons is literally what keeps the MP3s running here. The money is set aside exclusively for overhead and operational expenses. That's it. Now, I'm incredibly grateful to our corporate sponsors. You have no idea. They have the dedication to purebred dogs and the resources to ensure that Pure Dog Talk remains a powerful voice for purebred dogs. That you guys, y'all believed in this mission, and you've supported it from the beginning. You are the heart and soul of my crusade to provide all purebred dog lovers a constantly growing, challenging treasure trove of knowledge in a 21st century format.
Like a real world.
So just click the Be My Patron on Podbean button on the website. It's quick, it's easy, it's secure. And I hope to see all of you on the next Facebook Live chat. Okay, so we were talking a little bit earlier about who makes a great owner. So the question then becomes, with a strong temperament, you need to do a lot of socialization. Who may not make as good an owner for a Beauceron? If I call you up and say, I want to have a Beauceron, what are going to be things that you're like, maybe this isn't the right choice for you?
Someone that's looking for a couch potato.
Yeah, I would say that someone that wants a really cool dog but doesn't have the time or energy to put into it, you really need to devote the time needed to train the dog and really get out there and learn. And you kind of have to have an open mind. They don't learn like other dogs.
Sydney, give me an example of that.
You need to be able to train your dog. That's the dog in front of you. You're not going to be able to train every Boucheron the same. So it's going to have to take what I would consider like what you would quote unquote be a dog person that can go from one litter to the next and understand that you're going to have difference of temperament through trainability. And so they're not going to be the purely positive, but they're also not going to be dogs that are going to take the passive aggressive with the cookie today, not tomorrow. Great. They need to be able to have a trainer that can go back and forth and actually change up their training.
They're a very smart breed. They pick things up very quickly, but they also get bored very quickly. So you can't do a lot of repetition with them. And like Sydney says, you have to be able to change up. If they get bored, they shut down, they'll start doing it a different way. They say, well, you
make up our own routine.
Well, if you didn't like it, if you make them repeat it, they figure, well, you didn't like it, how about if I do this? So they'll be creative, and like I said, they have a sense of humor.
Yeah. And stubborn. I heard stubborn over here.
See, I kind of find they're very biddable, that you can have quite a bond with them.
Okay, very good. And how are they in numbers? I mean, there's so many of our breeds today that are really low entry, low number. We worry about having them around. How are the Boucherons? Are they pretty healthy gene pool?
I think that, yeah, it's a very healthy gene pool. The problem is that we actually need more dogs to come over now from Europe. We are getting a very closed gene pool within the U.S. And so we're finding ourselves line breeding, but we're actually line breeding on some really incredible, very old lines here in the U.S. And so we just need more dogs to come over from Europe.
Well, get busy, people. They have airplanes.
It's becoming more common, too, for, you know, importing and people to go outside of what we have here to find like a suitable stud for your female or when you're thinking about breeding. So it's becoming more common for people to do those things. It's more accessible.
And 2 years ago, we did have a large contingent of Americans that actually went over to the National Delavage, which is the National Boucheron Show in France, where there's around 500 Boucherons.
Wow. And so what's the entry at the garden this weekend?
10.
Okay. So it's still pretty low entry, really, numbers-wise, here in the U.S. And so we have lots and lots and lots of fun things that we get to do with our dogs these days, right? Like, there's not just herding, and there's not just obedience. So what are some of the things you were talking about that Boucherons are good at multiple things? So what are some of their big favorite things to do when they're not sleeping on the couch?
Oh, they don't sleep on the couch very much. A dog made the finals in agility this weekend.
Oh, wonderful.
And a lot of people do dock diving, lure coursing, herding, obedience, rally, karting.
I mean, it's a little bit of everything. There's a lot of different people that do a lot of different things. I focus in like the show ring and herding currently with my girl, but she also really enjoyed agility. I just didn't have the time to, you know, commit to it, especially the heat cycles. But then Eric does search and rescue. So, like, every dog is different. We all have, like, our own little niche. If I try and get my girl to go dock diving, like, she doesn't want anything to do with it. She'll swim, but she does not want to go off the dock.
No big splash for your Boucheron.
They also can be used for the IPO, IGP now, Sport Mondial Ring. They don't excel at it like a Malinois.
They don't have that bite drive that the Malinois has, is that it?
They are very slow to mature. They take 3-4 years to mature and get straight in the head. So it's almost like even at a 2-year-old, you see the Malinois are already charging down the field, but the Boucheron, they're just not ready. They're still puppy in the head. So they're hard to work with. They can do it, but trainers here aren't used to working a Boucheron, so we have a problem with trainers trying to push the breed to go too fast, train them in defense, so it doesn't work out. It creates a liability.
You know? Right, right. And a dog that doesn't want to is not going to be successful. So talk to us about what makes a beautiful Boucheron. If I'm looking at the show ring, what kind of is the key points of the standard? What are the things that you, the hallmarks of the breed, that are going to make you say, that is an amazing Boucheron?
Their presence and nobility. Absolutely. The standard really takes that first paragraph and it describes temperament and type. That type really is nobility, presence, head carriage. And so I think that type, temperament, and health really is like our staple of it. We have a healthy breed. And we're really lucky. We have very, very typey dogs here in the U.S. So really, like, this was a beautiful entry here today.
Yeah,
it was truly a beautiful. This was the best entry, I think, for Beauchamps.
And Eric, what do you think about that? What is it that catches you?
Multiple generation breeder of Beauchamp. What do you see? What grabs you?
I brought my first Beauchamp in the U.S. in 2007. And since 2007, I checked the quality to the Beauchamp in the U.S. And I will be honest, the quality increased a lot because they have a community to make a good selection for increase the quality on temperament and conformation in this U.S. The work is not done. The work is never done in Europe or here. So it's my skills from France and skill I learned here is very good for select dogs, because in Europe is a different culture for select dogs than the US. And when the breeder are able to mix both, I mean you target the best dogs in conformation, I mean.
And so talk to me about the Beauchamp head. To me, that's really kind of an iconic piece of the look of the dog in the ring. Just looking around the herding group, that is part of what jumps out and says Beauchamp to me. So yes, no?
Absolutely. You can actually still see the headpiece with it, because we have natural ears and cropped ears. When you actually have a dog with that headpiece with natural ears, it's just as striking as a dog with cropped ears. And so when you see a good head, you usually know it, even cropped or natural.
One other thing that comes out in the head is the competent. It's supposed to be a competent dog. Never fearful, never aggressive, just have a presence of competence about them. And that is displayed in the head. When you see the dog, they're a noble carriage, and they should be a competent breed.
Okay.
The U.S. judge is uncomfortable with the dogs with natural ears. Why? Because since 20 years ago, he judged only the dogs with ear scraps. And when people show dogs with natural, the judge don't know exactly if it's correct, not correct. For example, I own and breed the world champion, the French champion, and in France he have only 2 champions by breed a year.
Oh,
not
wow.
Than there. And get the champion title in France is very, very rare. And I have this dog with me here, and he is not able to get US champion because a judge, I don't know what can I give to these dogs.
Interesting. Okay, so curiosity. I mean, obviously, we run into this with a lot of the crop and dock breeds, where in Europe, they're not cropped or docked. And in the U.S., standards often say it is to be cropped, right? Sure. So the judges are confused about that. So does the parent club have any advice on that?
Well, it's interesting what Eric just said about his dog not being put up here. His dog has a lot of breed type. You can see that dog anywhere 20 feet away, and he just yells out Beauchamp. Many, many years ago, when the breed was first recognized, it must have been close to 2007 maybe, it was in Long Beach at Yukonuba, and that was the first year they had the international show. There was a Beauchamp there, also a French champion, that came over to represent France in the international show, and he was cropped. This is back when they did cropping. And I was sitting next to a judge, and she has since passed away. I loved the judge, Michelle Billings. And I told her my breed, and when he came in, she says, I've never seen anything like that in the Beauchamps that I have judged. And I said, that's the problem with the Beauchamp in the United States. We didn't have breed type. Like Eric said, things are improving. We have a lot more breed type than what we had, but because his dog looks very different, his French champion looks very different. Of course, they're 2 male, 2 female a year. That's it. So you got a total of 4 Beauchamp champions, and he has one, and his dog doesn't get put up in the AKC ring.
So when you're talking about breed type, what is it that you're seeing in Eric's dog that we're not seeing in some of the other dogs other than the crop? What is the type that's coming through?
Their substance is much more than like a German Shepherd. They do have much more bone, much more depth of chest, have much more substance than a German Shepherd. And so when the breed type that is displayed in the U.S. is much more of the German Shepherd, a little bit not refined, very pretty. They're not a pretty breed. The standard is rustic. The word rustic needs to be stuck in your head when you judge this breed. They're rustic, so there's nothing pretty about this breed.
I love that. I say that about the wire hair pointer all the time. You find me the pretty, you find me the fancy, you find me anywhere it says any of those things in the wire hair pointer breed standard. So very similar type of thing that you're talking about.
Farm dog. They're a farm dog. Right. They're not supposed to be pretty dog. Some of them I will look and I say, what is that? Doberman? Bullseye? You're not sure what the breed is. Lacks breed type.
Anytime you don't know what the breed is at a glance, it's lacking breed type. So that's an important piece of it that we're wanting to focus on. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. And listeners, love the breeds.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to Laura at puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.